We have a rather exciting show today. We have two of three very interesting musicians, Greg Patillo, flutist, and Peter Seymour, bass, two of the Project Trio, which also includes cellist Eric Stevenson, who is not with us today. Welcome to Crossover, both of you.
Thank you very much.
You have caused quite a sensation. How does it feel?
Oh, it feels great. We've tried to do music our whole lives, and to have this group going now over the past 5 years has been a joy. We've traveled the world playing our own version of chamber music, and included as many different genres in the process, and tried to touch as many different audiences in the process as well.
Well, you answered my question. I guess that's the end of the interview. Actually, I was going to say, how do you categorize yourself when people set up a series and they say we're going to have Project Trio? But wait a minute, who are they? Where are they? Where do they belong? Have you run into that?
Absolutely. We have an odd instrumentation at face value, a flute and a cello and a double bass. And the name doesn't give many clues either.
Project Not at
Trio,
all.
leaves you wondering just what these fellas are up to. Ultimately, we are an instrumental ensemble.
Yes.
And we met in conservatory doing classical music.
Yes.
And we often find ourselves filling the slot of alternative classical, if you will. Because although we play classical music, we also incorporate jazz into our set and elements of world music, salsa music, Indian ragas, and even some storytelling. We do a wonderful version of Peter and the Wolf where we actually narrate the entire performance, as well with other changes. We just try and cast a wide net and ultimately entertain from the stage.
Well, you are in the right station because we are a dual format station, Greg. It's classical and jazz, so I think you fit in just well. Now, you made your Carnegie Hall debut in 2010, is that right?
Yeah, we did something for the YouTube Symphony Orchestra there. We kind of did their press release there.
Would you explain what that is? Because everyone knows what YouTube is.
Well, YouTube has gone to incredible lengths to bring symphony and orchestral music to a wider audience on the internet. And they've put together now 2 years in a row concerts. And this last time, it was broadcast live from Sydney in Australia. And previously, it was in New York. And so we kind of passed the torch from Carnegie Hall to Sydney. And that's what brought us to Carnegie Hall and our involvement with YouTube. Now, we've had a great relationship with YouTube over the years. In fact, I had a pretty big smash hit video about 5 years ago showcasing the beatbox flute. And really, it's been a pleasure working with YouTube through various things they have going on.
What is the beatbox flute?
Oh, now that is an excellent question. Some people, it's true, do not know what beatboxing is. And normally beatbox is delivered by a vocalist, and they call it human beatboxing. And really it's making drum noises and synthesizer sounds with your mouth and with your throat. I've picked up a little bit of that and aimed to make the flute less of the lyrical instrument it's traditionally known of and more of a rhythmic instrument. And so I use drum noises and percussion sounds from my mouth and my breath to get the flute more of a staccato sound.
And also a kind of a wooden flute, like a shakuhachi or something like that. You know, there's an element of that.
Yeah. I really strive to take as many techniques as I can find from the flute. The flute is one of the oldest instruments on the planet, and many cultures, of course, use elements of flute playing in their cultures, and I try and use shakuhachi playing techniques for sure in my playing.
Now, Peter, tell us a little bit about your role as a bassist. Do you bow? Do you pluck?
I do a little bit of everything. You know, that's the cool thing about our group. Like Greg was saying, you know, we met as classical musicians, but I also have a big upbringing in jazz music as well. So I do a bunch. I definitely find myself using more of the pizzicato with our group because it becomes a real rhythmic element. Again, you know, because we don't have drums, we have to create all of our rhythmic drive, just the three of us.
Yeah, well, it's unique. You are a very, very interesting combination. And you also have that, I think one of the works on your album, you have a vocal, somebody speaking, is that right?
Yeah, we're really into collaboration. You know, when we originally started the ensemble, we never knew it would just be a trio. It just kind of ended up sticking like this. But, you know, we've You know, we've been interested in collaboration for a long time. We've done stuff with spoken word poets, and we've also collaborated with dancers and with singers, and so it's a big part of who we are, collaboration.
Well, it's a unique sound, and where did you go to conservatory, both of you?
We all three went to the Cleveland Institute of Music.
A wonderful conservatory, yeah.
Oh, absolutely, and worked a lot with the Cleveland Orchestra, and I actually got the honor to play a season with the Cleveland Orchestra before we started the trio.
Did you give up classical? All of you?
I can't say that we've given it up, because actually our music is still very highly classical, and our when you come and see our concert, you definitely get that sense, you know, that classical chamber music concert.
Well, because it's a trio, but there's something about that brought to mind for me, well, a lot of things, of course, Brubeck and that kind of thing, but also Claude Bowling. You know, some years back he did that
that
trio,
yeah.
You know, for jazz. Well, flute and jazz, I guess. It was flute, piano, and jazz bass, wasn't it also?
Yeah, there's that one, and there's also one that's written for cello, for piano, bass, and cello.
Yes.
Bowling suites are good stuff. We're starting to have more composers write music for us, and that's something we're really interested in doing, in reaching out to composers. It's been a great thing through our process to actually not have any pieces written for the ensemble. Because that way we've been kind of forced to write our own music.
Yes, you probably do. You jam a little bit and kind of get ideas that way?
Yeah, absolutely. We create pieces in every way you would think, through a lot of different ways of composition. You know, someone sometimes brings in just a cell of music, and we go from there. And sometimes it does come from just improvisation.
And also, I'm a classical musician myself. I also find that many classical musicians have a lot of trouble improvising, because it's a whole other thing. It's a very freestyle, and we are...
You know, one thing that we've been doing to address that is I totally agree, you know, going through conservatory, we saw that a lot. We have a huge education side of what we do, and we've been going out to, you know, kids, you know, just beginners all the way up through college students and professionals, doing improvisation master classes where we talk about improvisation 101 for classical musicians, because a lot of people assume that improvising is like playing fast jazz.
Yeah, you just sit down and it happens, right?
Exactly, but it's practice, and there's a lot of theory behind it, and so we've been starting to address that. It's been a lot of fun to play in, you know, a lot of colleges and do these improvisation classes.
Well, you've done it all over the world, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's going to be a little bit of what we're doing when we're in Philly. We're doing a workshop when we come to town on the 11th. And at that workshop, Greg will be teaching some beatbox technique, but we'll also be doing full improvisation and kind of, you know, kind of learn to jam the way that we do in different styles.
How, first of all, when and where is that going to be, the workshop?
Well, let's see. The info is it's February 11th.
Yes.
And it's at the Ethical Society of Philadelphia in Rittenhouse Square.
Okay.
The workshop's at noon, and then the concert will be at 2. And so it should be a lot of fun. I mean, we're really looking forward to it. People can get information at projecttrio.com. And, you know, we also do all the stuff like Facebook and Twitter. So, you know, just check out the projecttrio.com, and you can get all kinds of things.
Yeah, well, I think that the Internet has been extremely important to you.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
I can't even imagine it.
You really got some tremendous kudos from the New York Times, from Downbeat. I mean, they really recognized you, not, you know, patronizingly, but really as they respect what you're doing, because you're incorporating it all.
Well, I'm glad they didn't patronize us. I'm glad you saw it like that. We are serious musicians playing cool stuff. And you know what? People like our music. And our music, our concert is a lot of fun. And when people come and see a chamber music concert like what we do at the Project Trio, they're going to walk out of there with a huge smile on their face and say it's one of the best musical experiences they've had, because we're up there having fun and connecting to people. And so eventually things like New York Times and Downbeat, they've got to come around. But it's a lot of fun, our show.
Well, you've got every conceivable influence in there. You've got some hoedown, I think.
Absolutely. Well, now, trying to do more.
So the title of your album is
Project Trio.
What else?
It's self-titled. We've got three albums out, actually. We've got an album called Winter in June. an album called Brooklyn, and the third album is actually a self-titled Project Trio. We actually do a bunch of different stuff. We also have books out of our music, our composed music for people to read.
Now, where is all this available?
ProjectTrio.com. You can see it all on our store. We've got Greg has just come out with an amazing piece called Three Beats for Beatbox Flute, and you should check that out either probably at PatilloStyle.com. We've even put out a live DVD of concerts because, like you were saying, we've traveled around the world just playing music and stuff.
So what is a regular schedule for the year look like for you?
You know, we tour extensively. How we usually do it is we are gone for a week and back for 4 days and then gone for 2 weeks and back for a month. And so it's always different stuff. We're not like a rock band touring 6 months out of the year, but we're always on the road. And everything's a little bit different. We just got back from a chamber music festival in Walla Walla, Washington, where we were up there performing and doing master classes. And we also had an amazing time drinking wine.
Well, that's always fun.
Yeah.
And
so,
very inspiring, isn't it?
It was absolutely beautiful.
Not too much, though.
Yeah. And then we've been getting a lot into our international thing. We just got back from France and a trip to Austria, and we got things in the works for a Hong Kong, Singapore, Taiwan, Thailand tour.
Well, that's Asia. We'll pick it up very... Asia, their jazz is tremendously popular in Asia, and this... Well, we can't call it just jazz. I mean, this really is a unique sound.
Yeah. Well,
how about
the thing
that?
Is it's, you know, it's not jazz, actually. I mean, it is a little jazz, but... What we really call it is chamber music. It's three people playing music together in the small setting. We like to play in intimate settings, even though we end up in big concert halls. But, you know, it's just small chamber music. It's every style of music.
Well, of course, there are trios in classical. There are trios in jazz.
Absolutely.
And, of course, the whole concept is of listening to each other and then, I guess... taking it wherever you want to take it. I mean, I'm sure you have some serious, music written out, and then you do that. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, and we've written, you know, kind of our own compositions go from the fun to the serious, most definitely. And so, and when I think of chamber music, I think of it more about how the musicians are reacting to each other.
Well, they listen,
and how
I
they're
think.
Performing together.
Yeah, they listen very
exactly. And just like I think what we do is we bring our classical sensibility, the chamber music sensibility, to the more upbeat, jamming and jazz style.
But the jazz musicians listen, too. I mean, they are phenomenal. You know.
Oh, and some of the jazz musicians, some of our biggest influences are great jazzers,
Well, how are you accepting your tremendous success?
Well, you know, we still don't see it as a tremendous success. We really love everything that's come to us, and we love all the fans out there that have been loving us, but we're working hard every day to just continue to, continue to make great music and play great concerts. And so, you know, we just see it as still a building process, and that we're a young ensemble. This is only our fifth year as an ensemble, and we're right now in the studio writing new music. We're going to put out a new album called When Will Then Be Now, and we're putting that out in May.
Please say that again.
When Will Then Be Now.
When Will Then Be Now.
That's our new album coming out in May. And
what a wonderful title.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Because we're always saying then, and
exactly.
You should be doing it now.
And it's so true. One of the great things about the album is we have some great music from like Bach and Beethoven and Prokofiev and Rossini. And then we also have Charlie Parker and then a lot of new music from us.
So do you mix that in on a concert? Did you play classical straight?
Oh, most definitely. Actually, in Walla Walla, we actually did an interesting thing. We played a quartet. We played a Rossini quartet for cello, bass, and two violins. But Greg, our flute player, played the first violin part, and we collaborated. And it was really great. You know, it just brought a whole new side to our concert. We've also had the head of the composition department at Rice University, Richard Lavenda. He composed a piece for our ensemble that was really interesting and new. And so, you know, we mix it up. You never know what you're going to get at our concert.
Well, we don't know, but you do. So
exactly.
But it's certainly been a a pleasure speaking with you. I wish most musicians had as much fun as you do doing their work. I'm sure they love what they do, but you also have fun. So once again, you have a new album, and I hope that we can get that here at WRTI and listen to that.
And we hope to see everyone in February,
yes,
February 11th. That
at
would
be
the
great. Ethical Society. And that's Greg Patillo, flutist, Peter Seymour, bass, and Eric Stevenson, cello, better known as Project Trio. And thanks so much for giving us your time.
Thank you so much. This was really great. I appreciate it.
A pleasure. Project Trio will be in Philadelphia on Saturday, February 11th, for a workshop and concert sponsored by the Philadelphia Flute Society. For further information, contact philaflutesociety.org. I'm Jill Pasternak. Until next time.